You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We were in these meetings, and of course, when you get around Brother Jerry, you always get stirred up. You get, you know, pumped. And they were talking about picturing and envisioning. They're talking about seeing the future. Well, not seeing the future per se, but that's kind of what I'm going to teach on today. But it just stirred me. Actually, it wouldn't be a thing wrong me preaching what they preached, but this is kind of what I got while I was there. I may preach some of those messages later. They're good. You didn't hear them, so you don't know. I could put my name on them. You thought it came from God for me. So, but, you know, as I was meditating on their ministry and what they were doing, thinking about our ministry and what has happened here and how it didn't happen overnight, you know, somebody had to believe. Somebody had to give. Somebody had to pray. Somebody had to work. Great it is to dream the dream, Brother Osteen used to say, when you stand and use by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to fight life through and say in the end the dream is true. So dreams come through much work. They come through much labor, as it were. They come through much commitment. And it takes that to make it happen. And yet we're not always committed as we should be. We're not always faithful as we should be. But when we do commit, God shows up, no doubt about it. He's just looking for somebody that'll believe. Somebody that'll work His Word. And that's the key. The Word has to be worked. It has to be worked. Sometimes we lose motivation to work because we don't see the end. See, vision will give you motivation. Without it, you're just not going to, you know, if you don't see the end, if you don't believe in the end, if you don't have an expected end, a hope, then you're not going to continue to do the mundane things, the daily grind, as it were. Day in and day out, believing and serving and so on and so forth. But if you keep the vision in front of you, just like Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision the people perish. Amen? If you keep the vision in front of you, then you won't perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he, it goes on to say. I like that. Because a knowledge of the Word will keep your vision in front of you. If you stay in the Word, the vision will stay in front of you. And the motivation will be there. You know, just filling bags with sand can get kind of boring after a few days. But if you think about filling up bags of sand and building a dam because the flood's coming, there's your motivation. Amen? So vision puts meaning in the mundane. Just going to work. And work, man, here I am. Hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work I go. You know. Well, you're working for a purpose. You're working for your family. You're working for a home. You're working, you know, for vacation if that's the case. You're working, you know, ministry-wise, you're working to have something to give. But vision keeps it exciting. Seeing out there the future, seeing down the road. And I want to talk to you about today, seeing your future. Seeing your future. That's something that God really specializes in, is showing us our future. He didn't show us what is, He shows us what can be. You know, He didn't show me what was when I got saved. I mean, He did reveal to me I was lost, no doubt about that. But He showed me I could be saved. He showed me I didn't have to go to hell, I could go to heaven. Now, it was still a possibility, it was still a choice, it was still a decision, but I saw it. I saw it, and I accepted it, and I went for it. He showed me a different future, a brighter future. Not just what could be, but what should be, and what would be, if I believed Him and trust Him. You know, a farmer plants with hope. He doesn't plant, you know, without any expectation. In fact, it's understanding the process of sowing and reaping that causes the farmer to go out and plot a ground, dig it up, work it, and plant it, and water it, and fertilize it. He does it with hope. And so we plant with a purpose, with a plan. But you have to picture it. Well, you got to picture it before you plant it. This sermon will be brought to you by the letter P. I'm just thinking you have to picture it before you plant it, and then once you plant it, you got to, you know, you got to perform. You got to perform the plan. And then, hey, this will work. Okay, so you picture it, you plan it, you perform it, and then you possess it. I love it. It's good. So if you want to possess what you picture, then you're going to have to plan, and then you're going to have to perform the plan. It's one thing to have vision. It's one thing to see something, but it's another thing to have a plan to achieve it. It's another thing to work the plan. You know, most of your life is working the plan. Most of your life, you don't get up excited like, say, a few moments ago here in the church. Man, when a move of God hit and everybody's on their feet and it's exciting. Most of your life is not like that. That's when revelation comes. That's when expectation comes. That's when hope hits you. Harvest time. Hallelujah. And then you start rolling. I mean, God starts moving on your heart, and you're thinking about your business, or you're thinking about, you know, your marriage, or you're thinking about your health, or whatever the case. And that just connects with you because the Spirit, I know, touches us that way. And we're going, yes, I'm going to have a great year this year. I'm going to increase in business. I'm going to increase in my family's going to get better. Hallelujah. You're thinking of things already that you're looking for a harvest on. The excitement hits, and the vision comes, and the picture comes, and you see it. Well, now we leave here, and we begin to formulate a plan. Are you with me? And then we go work it. And most of our life is just working that plan. You know, when you're up and you're excited and the Spirit's moving, praise God, and I mean Mr. Bluebird is on your shoulder. That's when you need to write some things down. That's when you need to, you know, begin to believe and believe big. That's when you need to picture your future. What is it that you want to happen? What is it that you want to be in your business or in your marriage or in your home or in your finances or in your health or whatever? Write it down. And then write down a plan to achieve that. What does God say you need to do? And then when you get up the next morning and Mr. Bluebird is asleep or he's flown away, and you're just trying to crawl out of bed, you know, it's Monday morning, the excitement's not there, the Spirit's not moving, as it were. You don't get up and say, you know, good morning, Lord. You say, good Lord, it's morning. That's when you need to work the plan. Yeah. Amen? Because you know God spoke. You know He moved. You heard Him. You sensed Him. You saw Him. You felt the wind of the Spirit. Now, you know, I don't know, that wind doesn't seem to be blowing. I don't really see it that plain. But I did then. I saw it. It was in me. Now I'm going to work the plan. See, you work the plan when you don't feel it. You work the plan that you made when you did sense it. When you sense the moving of God's Spirit. That's why we need encounters with God. We do. You know, we don't have encounters with God 24/7. That doesn't happen that way. I don't. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring 30 years now. I'm not just walking on a cloud, you know, and just sense God every moment. You know, I wish I did. There are times when His presence is real strong. Most of the time, honestly, it's not. I mean, I know what's right. I know what God says. I know what to do, and I do it. I read my Bible every day. Are you with me? Sometimes it's a real presence that comes. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. Hello. But I know what's right. I know what's true. I know what the Word says. I know when God has spoken to me. I know when His presence was on me. I know what He said to me. I know what He revealed to me. I know what He wants me to do. And so I work toward that. And I work toward that. I do the things that will bring that to pass. I work to make that happen, hallelujah, with His grace and His power and so on and so forth. And you just have to, you know, you have to spend time with God to find out who you are, to find out what He wants for you. And then when that happens, you're not going to have that kind of presence and power all your life, but you need those moments, those times that He does reveal Himself to you and reveals you to you too. You know, I think of Jacob. Jacob was Jacob. He was the supplanter. He was the one, the deceiver. That's what Jacob means. And he deceived his brother and he deceived his daddy and he went up and deceived his father-in-law. And lo and behold, the deceiver got deceived. Father-in-law deceived him and used and abused him. He spent 20 years up north in Padanaram, you know, up north of Israel, fleeing from his brother and working for his wives, worked for one wife and wound up getting another one, didn't get the one he worked for. That's in the Bible. It happened. So he had to work another 7 years, worked 7 years for her and had to work another 7 for the other wife. Then he worked another 6 years for his father-in-law. Law of sowing and reaping. I mean, if you're going to live your life deceiving, you're going to be deceived. And so he's coming back, you know, he's coming back from there to go back to the land of Canaan where God wanted him to be all originally. And he has a vision of, sees God and he wrestles with God. That's what it says. And the Bible tells us that God said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, no, you're not Jacob. Your name is Israel. And I love that story because if he hadn't have spent time with God, he would have never known who he was. Lived his whole life not knowing who he was. But when he had an encounter with God, he found out who he was. And you know, we don't have one record of him ever deceiving anybody after that. Not one time after that did he ever deceive anybody because he found out who he was. Wow. You know, I think of Adam. I preached on this one time not too long ago, but it ties in here. You know, Adam, after he named all the animals, every one of them, can you imagine? I mean, what kind of brain did this man have? I mean, we think of Adam just being a dummy. He wasn't a dummy. He was smarter than we were. He was the father of all creation. I mean, God made him, and through him, everyone was born. And he named all the animals, and there was nobody that was fit for him. And he noticed, you know, dogs had mates, cats had mate, cows had mate, but he didn't have a mate. He had nobody that was fit for him. So God caused him to fall into a deep sleep. And then he pulled out of him a rib. I'm not going to say that. But anyway, he pulled a rib out and made woman. Now, if you think about that, what it boiled down to, Adam had everything in him he needed to fulfill his life, but he didn't know how to get it out of him. Isn't that right? So you need an encounter of God to bring out of you things that are in there. If you don't spend time with God, you never find out who you are. If you don't spend time with God, have encounter with God, you'll never get out of you what God put in you, things you need. They're there, but you just can't get them out. And that's when revelation comes. See, you'll get a picture of something in your life or your business or your family or your health or whatever the case may be. It was there all the time, but it took God to bring it out and show you. Give you the picture. You could have been believing that all the time, but you didn't see that, see? And without God, you can't see the future. You can't see what He has in store, what He has in mind. You've heard what the world has to say. You've even thought some things yourself. You've heard Mama and you heard Daddy. I hope you had some good ones. But nonetheless, have you heard what God has to say about you? Do you know God's plan for your life? Do you know what God desires for you? And I'm not trying to be mystical and spooky about this thing. I don't think that, you know, that you're necessarily going to just miss God that easily. If you really are gifted and talented and love to do certain things, that's probably what God wants you to do. But without God showing you, you don't know how far you can go with it. You don't know how much you can do with that. And you'll never reach your full potential because you're complete in Him. Amen? So, give you plenty of time to find Genesis 12. All right. Oh, also, I appreciate nobody sitting on this front row because I wouldn't want anybody to sit on this front row. So thank you for, I just want to say thank you. Before I forget to thank y'all, I just want to make sure I said that first. Genesis 12, first verse. I'm reading out a New King James Version. Now this is an awesome story. This is where God reveals himself to Abraham and Abram at that time before he changed his name to Abraham. And he calls him into the land of Canaan. Genesis 12:1 says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.'" I love that. Now that's not saying you ought to leave your family, but I think you ought to separate yourself from those that hold you back, as it were. You know, in Abraham's case, his family were pagan idol worshipers. I mean, they worshipped the moon god. They worshipped foreign gods. They worshipped, Joshua tells us about Abraham's parents, and it says they worshipped other gods. So Abraham had to get out of that setting. Sometimes, you know, you've heard something all your life from your family. Now, if you had good family, this doesn't apply. But sometimes you've been beat down. Sometimes you've been lied to. Sometimes you've been, you know, busted and disgusted, as it were, and just heard you never amount to anything. You're no good, and you hate your mama, you hate your papa, and so on and so forth. And then you grow up like that, and you think that's the final word because words do have impact. Biggest lie ever told was sticks and stones break my bones. Words never hurt me. Words hurt. Words take a long time to get over. There's people 50 and 60 and 70 years old still hurt from words that their parents said years ago, just never got over it. Now, you can get over it. That's the good news. You don't have to hurt. You can get another picture of yourself, but you're going to have to get with God to get that picture. Are you out there? So in his case, it was not a positive, it was a negative. In his case, not in every case, but in this case it was. God said, "Get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Now that's a good question we could ask ourselves. You know, have we seen the land that God would show us? Have we seen the future that God would show us? Have we even asked Him? Have we spent time with Him? Have we got in His Word? Do we know what future He holds for us? What are His plans? What's His desire? I'll tell you, God's desire is always to increase. It's always to make you better. It's always to do more than you could ever dream or imagine. Always. We think about Abraham in terms of ministry, the father of many nations and so on and so forth. We tend to forget that God was taking him on a journey to bless his socks off financially. Read it. Just read the story. I'm not making this up. I don't know how we just glaze over those scriptures, but they're there. He took Abraham and he multiplied everything he put his hand to. Abraham didn't go start a church. There were no churches back then. Abraham was the father of many nations, and God took him and increased and multiplied him. Now, does that mean every one of us will be millionaires and billionaires if we serve God? No, I'm not saying that. But I know that God will prosper you, and he'll take you to the next level. Woo! Well, two of you got it. And I'm sorry to tell you that God wants to bless you, but he really does, and he wants to prosper you, but if that's too hard for you and you really don't want that, you came to the wrong church, really. I mean, because if you come here, you're going to get blessed. And I'm sorry, I apologize for that, but that's just the way it is. God loves you, and I don't understand why he does. He cares about you, and he wants to make you better. And if you wanted to be worse, you came to the wrong church. Hello. Hey, if you want to stay the same, you came to the wrong church. Because God will never leave you where you are. He'll take you where you are, but he'll take you further. In fact, he'll take you and he'll show you a land you never dreamed or imagined. Now, this is an awesome set of scriptures. It says, I will make you a great nation, second verse, and I will bless you and I'll make your name great and you shall be a blessing. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. You'll be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing. You know, I think about, we believe in prosperity. I believe that God wants to financially, money, Yankee, American, greenback dollars bless you. That's the scripture says that. That when we give, it is given back to us. The scriptures, Jesus said that. But there's a purpose for that, and the purpose is to be a blessing. I mean, you couldn't give 100 in a church this size, in a town this size. You could not give $1 million to missions in 10 years if you didn't believe in prosperity. If you didn't believe in prosperity, you couldn't give $100,000 a year in missions. If we didn't teach prosperity, if we didn't teach that God wants to bless you, be faithful in your tithes, be faithful in your offerings, God will multiply that. I can tell you right now, church our size, town this size, we couldn't give 125 tons of food away in 2.5 years. Couldn't do that. We couldn't host 2,000 plus people every year free on Halloween, which we call Hallelujah Night, and tell everybody about Jesus and have booths about Jesus and music about Jesus and puppet skits about Jesus and tracks in every bag and do it free and give away thousands of hot dogs and thousands of Cokes and thousands of popcorn, ice cream, I don't know what all, but prizes, all the things that we do. Do it free. You couldn't do that if you didn't believe in prosperity. If this church didn't preach prosperity. So this idea that, we're in church, we're supposed to be poor. Well, no, we're not supposed to be poor, we're supposed to give to the poor. And that's what we've endeavored to do, is to help the poor. That's what our food ministry is about. Are you with me? And we didn't want to charge people in Hallelujah Night because we wanted to minister to them. So you don't charge for ministry. Are you with me? So we just do it all free. But we couldn't do that if we weren't a church that believed in prosperity. Hallelujah. Well, Abraham, he didn't have anything. Oh, he didn't have anything. He had 318 trained servants for war, the Bible says, born in his own house. He had probably a couple of thousand people, literally, conservatively, a couple of thousand people in his train or troop. It wasn't just him, his wife, and his nephew Lot. When he go into Egypt, they were afraid of him. Kings would make pacts and agreements with Abraham because they didn't want him to rise up against them. Go read it. You have 318 trained servants for war. Think about that. Wow. Born in your house, it says. So they got mamas and daddies. Now, I don't know. Back then, it probably wasn't a lot different. You'd be born, you had a mama and a daddy. Wouldn't you think? Okay. And I think if they're trained for war, they're old enough to hold weapons, and so they probably got brothers and sisters, maybe even wives and children themselves. And they'd been around a long time because they grew up. Okay. So God took him into this country and he blessed him. God will always bless you where he takes you. Always. And he'll always bless you with what he shows you, you know, what he reveals to you. But you need to get with God to see the future that God has for you. And the future God has for you is better than you could imagine. It's better than what you could do by yourself. I would never imagine that I'd be doing what I'm doing today as I was growing up. I mean, where I grew up and my background. And, you know, when I got saved, I was a spray paint helper at Upjohn Chemical in Deer Park, Texas. Oh yeah, there was a spray pot, and we'd spray all the pipes, and we'd spray the tanks, and we'd get in a basket and go up 200 feet, and they'd put you on a structure. And I was just a country boy, and I went down to Houston, you know, for work, for money, because it just wasn't the industry where we were in Center. Center's different now, but back then there wasn't. And I didn't have any future, you know, in the natural. I'd probably been most likely to not succeed if you looked at me at school. I got kicked out of high school, you know, didn't finish high school, and the police came and told me I couldn't even drive on a parking lot. They wanted to get rid of me so bad, they wanted the police to make sure I didn't come back. Seriously, literally, I talked to the chief of police. I knew him very well. Johnny Hughes was his name. In fact, after I got saved, I went back and preached in the Baptist church there years later, and the pastor got full of the Holy Ghost and started a charismatic church. Somebody came up to me at that meeting. Brenda and I were talking about it. They said, oh, it's just so good to see someone that really has a testimony, that really turned their life around, and so on and so forth. And I kept looking at this lady, and I didn't recognize her. And she walked off, and I asked Brenda or somebody, I said, who is that lady? They said, oh, well, that was the dispatch at the jailhouse. I remember her. Yeah. True story. I mean, really, God changed my life. I was the most likely to fail, not succeed. But God showed me another future. I remember Lakewood Church. Of course, I'm not going to share when I got called to teach. I'll never get through that. But anyway, I remember a vision I had that God, when he called me to teach, I saw a different future, okay? I would watch Brother Osteen preach, and I saw myself on that stage, and I didn't even want to do that. I think, man, that's arrogance. I started thinking maybe that's just wrong. That's me wanting to be the star or something, you know? And yet, I could see myself up there preaching at a church like Lakewood. Are you kidding me? With my background, my vast education, hello, all the money I had working as a spray painter's helper, I went from there to a laborer on a construction job. Rolling, just rolling, you know. Candidate for success. But I was in God's eyes. And God began to show me a different future. He began to call me into something different. And it was better. It always is. And you don't have to be called into quote-unquote ministry to have something better. God can bless you in a lot of ways. He can gift you to work. He can gift you and give you talents and in business and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you what, God and you can do it a whole lot better than you by yourself. And God will give you a picture that you can believe for. I love this because God, before he did anything, he said, I'm going to show you something. I want you to see this. You need to see your future. Do you think about what your future is going to be? You need to see that, and you need to work toward that. You need to see increase. You need to see improvement. You need to see clients if you have a business. I don't know, what do you do? You need to see, you know, accounts if you're building. And I'm limited in that world because I just did construction and worked in a produce business for a little while, bud. You know, so I know a little bit about calabazas, you know, naranja, and you know, all those produce terms. I can speak Spanish as long as there's fruit on the table or vegetables, frutas and vegetables. I can do that if it's on the table. That's about it. But anyway, hallelujah. God showed him a different future, a brighter future. Turn over to Genesis 13. We're right there in 12. Just turn to Genesis 13. Here he continues to show. I love this, how God worked with Abraham. We miss this sometimes, but Abraham spent time with God, and God would begin to show him and reveal to him a little more and a little more, but he kept showing him and giving him a picture. You know, I remember Jerry Savelle used to say, he didn't say it this week, but years ago he was believing for a plane. He got a picture of that plane and put it on his desk, and he would stare at that thing and see that thing. And, you know, the world would say, oh, man, what are we, that's demonic, that's satanic. No, that's biblical. That's exactly what God does. That's what God always did with the prophets. When he'd show them what was going to happen, he'd give them a picture. He'd give them visions and pictures. And, you know, maybe you ought to do that too. If you need another car and you're, you know, working toward getting one, get a picture of what you want. Put it on your refrigerator and look at it. Hello. Getting quiet in here. Biblical ways. We're talking about what the Bible says. This is not some get-rich-quick scheme. This is not some just positive attitude teaching. This is what the Bible teaches. In fact, the Bible says, Psalms 119, 130, the entrance of thy word gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple. I like that. So if you'll hear from God, you'll get light. You'll see. Light comes, you see things. And Psalms 119, verse 105 says, your word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. It lightens up the way I should go. I see it here, and then I walk toward it. And we walk by faith and not by sight. I hope you're not walking in doubt and unbelief. I hope you're walking by faith and not by sight. I hope you're believing for a better future. I hope you're believing for a better marriage, a better business, a better ministry, or whatever the case may be. I hope your expectations are high. No one is ever going to stand before God and hear God say, you know, you were believing, but you were believing way too big for me. Jesus never rebuked anybody for believing too big. If you'll go through the scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, he always rebuked them because of their unbelief, not their belief. I mean, you know, come to Jesus and ask for a healing or a miracle, and you don't hear Jesus doing something like this. Whoa! Who do you think I am, God? I mean, he never backed up when someone believed. He loved it when they believed. Okay. I think of Job 22:28, too, if you write notes. Job 22:28 says, decree a thing, and it shall be established to you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Woo! You got to say it on the basis of God's word. But when you begin to confess it, then it begins to be established, and light begins to shine on your... Well, I can never do that. Well, there goes the light. You just turned it off. In the name of Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Boom, light comes on. Light to get it done. Ways you never dreamed of. Plans to achieve that you never even thought of. All of a sudden you start getting insight. Because light comes when you decree it. That's the way God did everything. Did everything by speaking first. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, the Word ought to light our path. Amen? You stay in the Word, you'll get a different picture of your future. You need to see your future. And then act accordingly. Genesis 13. Stay with me. Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. Boy, he was always having trouble with his family, wasn't he? God had to get him away from his family to start with. And then he had to get away from Lot. There was strife between them, and they had to separate. Strife will always hinder your vision. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Look from the place where you are. How many of us look from the place where we are? Are we just still looking at where we are? We can't get past where we are. Well, God will lift your eyes up and God will show you something more than where you are. God will show you a land. That's what he said over in the 12th chapter. He will show you a land that he has for you. But you're going to have to look from where you are. Away. Above. More. Woo. Am I the only one getting this? Man, I love it. I want to see my future. I want to see the future God has for me. I want to see what God has in store. I want to see what God can do. I've seen what I can do. I don't need an encore. I want to see what He can do. I want to see a performance from the Lord. You know, that's what Mary did. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. When she went and visited her cousin Elizabeth, when she walked in the door, Elizabeth was 6 months with child with John the Baptist, the first Baptist. I'll let you out pretty quick if you all laugh or respond. I mean, but anyway, she walked in, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost came on Elizabeth, and the babe in her womb leaped, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And she looked at Mary, and she said, "There shall be a performance of those things which were told you by the Lord because you believed." I love that. You want to see God perform? You want a performance? Well, believing will get you a performance. The show will start when you believe. God will show up and show out. That's what He does. But believing starts the show. You might say it's the ticket to get in the door. But once you start believing, hallelujah, God shows up and He begins to perform. And He can do a lot more than we can. He can show us more than we'll ever see on our own. And believing will cause us to see from where we are to where we can be. Believing will cause us to see the land that He has, for the marriage that He has, the business that He has, the future that He has. But you got to see it first. See, if you don't see it, well, if you don't see it, you won't say it. Isn't that right? And isn't that usually the case when you're ministering to someone or trying to pray with someone or believe, get someone to believe? They'll say things like, "I wish I could see that." Or I just can't see that right now. You know, I can't. So in essence, because they can't see it, they won't say it. Because we say what we see. I'm not talking about naturally. I'm saying we say what we see. A farmer sees it. He sees it. He goes out and he plants. Now, he's already seen it. He's seen that harvest. He has seen what seeds do. And we need to see what God says and then say it. If we see it in the Word and we say it with our mouths, we'll see it in the natural. Isn't that right? If we can picture it, we'll proclaim it. There's another P. If we picture it, I need to write a book, I'm telling you. If we can picture it, we'll plan it, we'll proclaim it, perform it, and possess it. Woo-hoo. That's pretty, isn't it? Okay. All right, let's finish this up. That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Just 13:14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, if you lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, quit putting limitations and boundaries on what God can do in your life. Well, I've got this education, or I only got this much money, or I'm white, or I'm black, or I'm Hispanic. What in the world has that got to do with anything? We're talking about God here. God can do anything with anybody that'll believe Him and trust Him. Take off the limits. Look north, look south, look east, look west, look around. Come on, there's no stops to what God can do, no limits to what God can do. Well, we're in Wills Point, Texas. Now, if we were in Dallas, maybe. Well, what has that got to do with anything? Small town. Hey, big God. That's my immediate response when I hear those kind of words. Oh, you got a small town. I got a big God. Big God. We got small thinking. We got to change to big thinking. Amen? Okay. He says, wow, I got to stop. Okay. Can I finish this one? Like I wasn't going to do it anyway. I'm being nice, you know. I'm trying to include you, okay? But I will stop here. I won't go to the other 1,500 scriptures I had in mind here. We'll just have to carry this on next week. Is this helping you? I hope to stir you. I want to stir you and plant a fire in you and get your expectancy up and your, you know, start seeing your future. Because I'll tell you, we got a bright future. I believe that word we had about a season of change, a season of harvest. I believe that's for our church. I got that standing right there at the end of that song. The Holy Ghost moved, and I felt that so strong in my spirit. But that's for all of us. You know, when you say something like that to the church in general, that means every one of us individually are going to be prospering, and God's going to use us more, because that's going to cause the increase. The increase comes from us. We are the church. Church is not a building. It's us. Woo. Winds of change. I want ears to hear, and I want eyes to see. That wind. Feel that wind. Sense that wind of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, he said this 15th verse. He said, for all the land which you see, I give to you. Y'all catch that? No, you don't sound like you did. If you got that, I mean, I'd hear more than uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, listen to this. For all the land which you see, I give you. Amen. What can you see? What can you see in the Word? What can you see in His promises? What can you see God doing in your life? Well, whatever you see, God will give to you. Amen. We need to start seeing our future through God's Word, through God's voice, through our encounters with God in His presence. Start seeing it. That, if we do that, that's what He will give to us. He will not give it to us anything, but He'll give us what we see. And if you can't see it yet, keep looking. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. You keep looking. If you'll keep looking, you'll see it.